Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
You see on the email today, did you forward this to me?
I probably did.
From Greg Stewart?
Yes.
Greg Stewart, when I first started out here in State College, I worked at a station here, and we had a really great tight-knit group with a lot of on-air talent that was fabulous that went on to incredible things. And one of the sales guys who was terrific at his job and is just one of the genuinely really nice guys, Greg Stewart, suddenly out of nowhere sends an email today. I probably haven't heard from Greg in, I don't know, 35 years, maybe longer. Yeah, I remember him like he was yesterday. He's about the nicest guy there is on the planet. Did a great job in sales. But that was really cool he reached out. Really cool. So I wrote him back. Yeah, I also closed up by saying that the suit would have deleted you. Get out of here. Don't need to hear from me. I'm busy. But he's an old friend. Hey, he's just old. Okay. So, Greg, thanks so much. I sent Greg a response, which is great. All right, let's get to our play-by-play call today. What did I tell you yesterday? I mean, I may not get the picks on Friday right, but what did I tell you yesterday? First team to 13 would win.
Yes, you're correct.
All right. Well, the Rams, a 4th-and-1 stop of the Bears deep in their own territory.
Flip it to Patterson. Left side, he won't get there. What a play! Terrell Lewis was the first man there, the rookie from Alabama, who only made his debut in the NFL a couple of weeks ago. What a signature stop for him. Terrell Lewis is 6'5", 265.
Steve Levy with little Brian Greasy there at the end. The Bears offensively, if you gave me a choice of watching the Bears offense or watching a chess match, I would think long and hard. He's sitting there going, maybe I'll go with chess. More action.
Yeah, as I watched that game last night, I just kept thinking more and more about you, like, you know what? Yeah, Steve was right. I don't know why I thought this was going to be a decent game.
Well, it's just... here's the problem. Matt Nagy, I think he's a good coach.
We had a terrible game plan last night.
But is he a good coach? Yes. But he doesn't have the right people running what he wants to do. They have really not drafted well. The Trubisky thing set them back 5 years. Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, it's set him back 5 years. That's a big problem. And we've talked about Daniel Jones. Want to know what Daniel Jones' problem is? You watch him throw the ball. He actually throws a nice ball. He really does. You know, can he drop the ball in the way Wentz did with Boston Scott? Yeah, Jones can do that. Throws a really nice, boom, beautiful, tight spiral. But he has had 19 starts in his career. And you want to know what all 19 starts have in common? You're thinking, I can tell. I can see the steam.
I was going to say interception, turnovers.
He has personally turned the ball over in each game.
There you go.
Right? He's either fumbled it and lost it or thrown an interception in each of his 19 starts. In fact, in those 19 starts, he's fumbled 21 times and lost 13 of them. I mean, come on. Okay, number one. Okay, the number one rule is take care of the biscuit. Hey, you got to take care of the ball. In football, possession is 100% of it. And that's his problem. Then you look at the Bears, Trubisky. Turnovers, inaccuracy, three and out. It's like, oh, my goodness. I remember when they moved up to get him.
Oh, I know.
When they I always love when somebody moves up to get somebody. Like, you're smarter than everybody else in the room. Not that you move up to get somebody and everybody's like, hey, I don't blame you. That's exactly what you should do, right? Let's take, like, the Steelers moved up to draft Devin Bush. There was a need. They did it. It made sense to me, all right? When the Bears moved up to number two, and that's who they picked, I went, they moved up to get him? Really? I remember looking around thinking, 1 year as a starter, and like, I only watched part of one game, and I watched all of his bowl game. I wasn't blown away by either one of them. I'm thinking, they must have looked at better tape than I did. I shook my head. Couldn't believe it. I couldn't believe it. Okay. Let's see here. Before James tomorrow and the show with Mitch, would you be willing to judge the Nittanyville banner contest? What? I get all sorts of requests. Have you noticed that?
I have, yes.
Yes. Okay, in a pandemic, guess who's the only one available? Me.
I guess that'd be you, yeah.
I'm the only one available. I'm the only one outside the bubble. I gotta think about this. I can think about this at the end of the show, right?
Yeah, let's go with that.
I think it's really neat they're doing it. But yeah. But I can't do it until after this show's over. I just can't leave the show at 4 o'clock. That's okay, I'll take over. I have experience. Jumps in there. Yeah, you'll jump in and do that, but you won't jump in the Thursday segment for 3 minutes. You know I'm having fun with him in this, don't you?
Oh, yes, of course.
I don't want the audience to go, oh, he's being mean. We're having fun. We got Midwest this week?
Midwest on Friday night.
Now, is that the last regular season game?
Possibly. If Mifflinburg loses this Friday night, then Shikellamy will play them next week. But if they win, I think this might be the last game of the year, if I'm understanding this correctly.
Now, where are they in the playoff race?
Oh, they're out. Because the 4A playoffs start this week when Seals Grove Shamokin's one of them for their third matchup of the year, second in 2 weeks. And Jersey Shore Mifflinburg is the other game, I think. So you put two and two together.
Whoa. Jersey Shore made the... He's ripped that group for years, and they keep making the playoffs and being a top seed. Right?
Yeah, and the fact that Thomas Jefferson out in District 7 lost the other night. They were upset. Jersey Shore is now the number one overall seed in the whole state going into the playoffs. They were number two all year, but now because Thomas Jefferson lost, Jersey Shore is number one.
Can I tell you a quick... This is not Thomas Jefferson, but it reminds me of this. Normally when I set, you know, it depends on when Jack is finished discussing a particular play, or maybe I add in and the two of us discuss whatever. If I have a little more time, you know, it depends. If you have less time, you do less. If you have more time, you set the formation.
Okay.
So you got Jahan Dotson out there, Parker Washington's out there, and Daniel George is out there. So they come out on one play, and it said, and Dotson to the near side, George and Washington to the far side. I'm thinking to myself, okay, that's the last time you're going to have to do it that way. George Washington to the far side. Yeah. Yeah. So after that, I think you probably heard me. And Parker Washington's in the slot with Daniel George outside of him, or it was Daniel George and Parker Washington to the far side. I started using full names because I wanted to get away from the George Washington combination.
I can see that being a tongue twister.
Well, it's not a tongue twister. It comes out as George Washington.
Right.
The president. Right. Then you add in Ford as a tailback. You had all sorts of presidents out there.
That's true.
Because I said it, and then Jack looked over at me, and I said, I know I did it. Because when you're doing it, you didn't quite think about it. And then as soon as I said it, I thought, well, that just... Even though it's accurate, right? Just because he's looked around, that we're going to have to come up with a little different way of saying this so it doesn't sound like George Washington is out there wide receiver. Hey, what the heck? I think it was like the second quarter of the game, and the two of us started laughing. It was like, oh, boy. So last night, I watched very little of the game last night. Very little. But I did catch the part where they were discussing how Nick Foles is not quite on board with the play calling. Did you see that part?
Yeah, and then they were talking about it today on the Dan Patrick Show earlier today, and I guess Brian Greasy said it was supposed to be off the record or something. I don't know.
Yeah, well...
I think overall this is a bigger deal than what it is supposed to be.
In all honesty, if I had to pick any network covering the NFL where I'd be careful about what I say, it's them. You know, if you say that to Jim Nance and Tony Romo, they probably wouldn't have brought it up. Troy Aikman, Joe Buck, Chris Collinsworth, Al Michaels, but with them, okay, in terms of the network philosophy, they're aching for clicks anywhere they can get it. That's why they'd be the ones that'd be most, okay. And so he blurts it out there, and you're like, okay, why are you telling us that story? I mean, I didn't quite get it. He's not going to relinquish his play calling duties. He's not going to bring back Mitchell Trubisky. They're 5-2 right now. The Bears' offense is ranked 27th per game in points, 30th in yards per play. I remind you, there are 32 teams. 30th in yards per run, 29th in yards per pass, 30th in third down conversions, 29th in red zone efficiency. Other than that, they really are the classic juggernaut. Now, look, if I'm Matt Nagy, if I'm him, I don't relinquish it either. I mean, I think you saw when they made the playoffs, he knows what he's doing. He needs better personnel. He benched Trubisky week 3 in favor of Foles. Foles went 28-42, 61. What's embarrassing is the Giants lost to this guy. I don't know.
Well, as I said before, I mean, Nick Foles should have been the starter from the very get-go. I don't know what you could have looked at, especially after the contract the Bears gave Foles in the offseason. I don't care if Trubisky was, like, lighting up Khalil Mack in practice. Nick Foles would have been my starter week one. A total joke he was not the starter for the Bears week one.
When you invest the second overall pick in the draft, you know, the biggest difference between the first overall pick, the second overall pick in the draft, and the second pick in the third or fourth round, you know what the difference is? Like, your reputation. The second overall pick in the draft is going to get every... Okay, the second overall pick in the draft has to play his way out of his job, and that has to play his way out of the league. The second pick of the fourth round has to play his way into the league. The big difference. Big difference. And they're trying to go as far as they can to basically say we didn't get it wrong. And by the way, did you see what Game Day is going to do?
I did. We had the Masters.
They're going to Augusta National. That's actually kind of cool.
That will be fun.
All right. We'll get to the Wisconsin quarterback situation in a moment as we continue on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors.
Whether you're cheering for L.A. or Tampa Bay in the World Series, you'll hit a home run with a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia.
I wanna see you in a Kia.
Treated like a champion at SMC. Hurry in now and check out the 2020 Kia Fortes. Sunbury Motors Kia has them starting at $17,998.
Under 20 grand for a brand new car.
Sunbury Motors also has 24 2020 Kia Seltos available. You have to check out this hard-to-find, small-sized, all-wheel drive crossover. All prices are clearly marked with rebates and discounts. See the sticker and know the savings. Remember, every new Kia comes with a 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Tampa Bay Rays, L.A. Dodgers. No matter who wins the national title, you'll be the big winner with a new Kia from Sunbury Motors Kia on the strip in Hummel's Wharf.
Warranty is a limited powertrain warranty. For details, see dealer or go to Kia.com.
Well, Wisconsin had a dynamic opening against Illinois last Friday night to start the Big Ten. And quarterback Graham Mertz had everyone excited. You know, he was a high-profile recruit, went in there. Jack Cohn's out, so he gets the job, goes in there, is brilliant. I think he only missed one pass. And then he tested positive. So there was hopes that it was a false positive, but then they took the PCR test. And when he took the PCR test on Monday, the result came, took it Sunday, the result came back yesterday. He's positive. So this means that under the Big Ten policy that requires any player test positive to miss at least 21 days, when they mean test positive, they don't mean the daily antigen test. You have to test positive in both the daily antigen test and then have it confirmed by the PCR, okay? Whenever that happens, you're required to miss 21 days and undergo cardiac screening before being cleared to return. So that means Wisconsin is now down to its fourth string quarterback when they play at Nebraska, because it turns out that third stringer Chase Wolf also tested positive. And that was confirmed Monday night in a report by the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. They're still waiting to see if Wolf's positive test is confirmed. If true, he misses 21 days as well. I mean, Jack Cohn's already out with a foot injury. He had surgery, what's today, the 27th? So he had surgery 3 weeks ago today on that foot. That means redshirt junior Danny Vandenboom would make his first start against Nebraska if Wolf is also ruled out. I mean, 2 years ago, Vandenboom played in three games and he completed one pass for a 3-yard touchdown. That's it. So here are the games that Wisconsin would play in the 3-week span. They would play Nebraska, Purdue, and Michigan. Now, obviously, Wisconsin's not commenting on this. There are HIPAA laws. He said that Chris did say he was confident that the Nebraska game would still be played. He said that the team's positivity rate, the number of positive tests divided by the total number of tests administered based on a 7-day rolling average, exceeds 5%, then you're not allowed to play. Chris says he has no issue with the 21-day policy. Looked out, in order to play, that was part of the condition to playing, so you got to accept it and just go. I mean, and that's for everybody. Everybody. Whether you agree with it or not, if it's a condition to get you to play, you know, you're between a rock and a hard place, so you accept the condition and you just go. Mertz was great. 20 of 21, 248 yards, 5 touchdowns. And freshman out of Overland Park, Kansas was, I mean, considered to be the top quarterback recruit in the history of the program. Well, he looked it on Friday night, but now he's out 3 weeks. He's the first player that we know of. He's the first player that we know of that's hit with the 21-day ban. There may be a couple of others, we just don't know about them. All right. One final half hour to go. Great to have you with us today. Paul Keel's on the show tomorrow. Also, we'll have the Ravens reporter, Aaron Kucinich, on the show as well from PennLive.com. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And online at sunburymotors.com. Ford, Lincoln, Kia, Hyundai. Great new inventory. Heard those Sunbury Motors ads when it comes to what they're doing right now with Kia. That's great. Fabulous stuff. And also, great pre-owned inventory. Yeah, maybe you like pre-owned inventory. It's great. You feel like it's broken in, it's got a little bit to it, whatever. Or maybe your budget says you should. Okay, either way. You want to go someplace where they do everything they can to make sure that they've checked every inch of it. And that's Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Noah Kane is out for the year. With Journey Brown's situation, Noah got a lot of preseason reps. A lot. And I thought Noah Kane had a terrific preseason. I really did. And I couldn't wait to watch him on Saturday. Thought, you know, this guy had a terrific preseason. I think he's going to have a really good season here. He's got, you know, with the opportunity he has in hand and so forth, I thought, all right, here we go. And so like his first series, and you know, the first, you know, series he's in there, he looks good. It's about the guy I'm expecting. And I think he's just gonna get better as the game goes along. That's what I'm thinking as I'm doing the game. Then he goes out. All right, now I'm not thinking he's out. Because I mean it's not a surprise in the opening series that they decide to change up in a running back, or you know, there's a package of plays they have that are different, whatever. Okay. I'm not thinking about that. Then they come out in the second series and Ford's the running back. And I'm like, all right. You know, maybe it was his turn to go now anyway, so see how it plays out. And then they got to the third series and Ford came out again, and that's when Jack and I looked at each other and thought, there's a problem here. But Jack, he had binoculars. He was scouring the sideline trying to find him. And you know, of course, obviously, you know, we could then tell that there was an issue. You're like, oh, great. You know, of course, the one thing you fear in a situation like this is that it's long-term. Well, it turned out that it is something that puts him out for this season. kind of had that bad feeling after the game on Saturday when it came time to talk about that, that we thought that, this could be a long-term problem. You know, long-term meaning season. Yeah, I'm not talking about beyond the season. Well, it was confirmed today by James Franklin that it was. So, you've gone from Journey Brown, Noah Kane, Devin Ford, then two kids, Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee, that have great potential. All right, got that. To Journey Brown not being able to start the season. You're like, okay, hey, look, you still got, yeah, you still have Noah Kane and Devin Ford. So you're okay, right? To now, at the moment, no Journey Brown, no Noah Kane, definitely for the rest of the season. And now it's Devin Ford and the two kids, Keziah Holmes and Kevon Lee. Kevon Lee, I think, gave a very good account of himself Saturday against Indiana. I thought he looked good. I thought he ran with purpose. He ran hard. And Keziah Holmes, because he put the ball on the ground, it, I think, eliminated the possibility of him playing more in the game. You can't do that. I mean, you can't do that. You can't put the ball on the ground, no matter what. And once you see Keziah Holmes run, you're going to be impressed with him. He's a good-looking player. There's no getting around. He's a good-looking player out there. And the running back spot will lack experience. I mean, Devin got into a lot of spot duty last year. He still ran for almost 300 yards, three touchdowns. But he didn't have the number of game reps that obviously Journey or Noah had. And that is, moving forward, that's going to be, you know, I thought Devin Ford ran hard. I thought Devin Ford, you watch the blitz pickup. Devin Ford did a good job in blitz pickup. I was impressed by that, to be honest with you, was his blitz pickup. I mean, guys trying to hurl themselves in, and he throws his body in there. And Devin is a good receiver out of the backfield, too. And Kevon Lee impressed me. You just didn't see a lot of Keziah Holmes because, obviously, you know, again, I go back to, well, it's only, no, putting the ball on the ground is not tolerated. Can't be. You saw what putting the ball on the ground or throwing it away meant in Saturday's game. Meant everything. Meant everything. They said at the beginning of the show, I mean, how many times under James Franklin has Penn State had 10 penalties and 3 turnovers in the game? How about never? Okay? Not one time. All the coaching that he has done there, not one time has Penn State had 3 turnovers and 10 penalties in the game. But that was the ball game. I mean, you can, you know, we can sit there and we can parse the 2-point conversion and so forth, but the question is, over the 60 minutes, how did you get there? Well, they got there because the 10 penalties either derailed momentum or gave Indiana momentum, as did the 3 turnovers. And that was a big part of this. There's no getting around it. Again, never. So when you hear James say, that's uncharacteristic for us, when it's never happened, that's absolutely atypical. That's the definition of atypical. All right, so now it's on to Ohio State. I was talking about this earlier, and we'll get more into this tomorrow, but when I look at, for example, Penn State, you look at Olave and Wilson. Justin Fields completed 17 straight passes to open the game. He ended up, 20 of 21, some number like that. I think his numbers were similar to Graham Mertz of Wisconsin. And when you watch him, 13 of those completions were to Chris Olave, whom I feel is an exceptional talent, and Garrett Wilson, whom I also think is really, really good.
Okay.
So that's 13 of the 20 completions right there. 65% of his completions were to those two wideouts. And Penn State has, in my opinion, the Penn State, in my opinion, has the corners that can handle this. I think that's a big part of this, that they've got the corners that can handle this. So I think that that's a big part of this game on Saturday. Tariq Castro Fields, Joey Porter Jr. Two guys that, in my opinion, can handle and cover, not handle, but cover difference. Handle can cover Olave and Wilson. That's going to be one of the great matchups. And it goes back, and Doug's absolutely right. When Doug was talking about Fields' ability to run, obviously that is a huge factor, his ability to run. And I've been impressed the last 2 years, A, with his accuracy, but as also when he chooses to run. Fields doesn't make a lot of mistakes out there. I think I said this yesterday. I was always thought it was interesting at Georgia where they really needed to have a guy that was a change-up guy. And I know they stuck with the veteran Jake Fromm, and I don't blame them. Fromm is smart. Fromm made relatively few mistakes. But let's be honest, he was never dynamic enough where he gave you that extra factor. Let's go back to, like, in the box. So you get in the box, you need to have somebody in the box. Now, Ohio State's going to have to do the same thing with Sean Clifford. When a quarterback runs for 119 yards and shows the ability to run the way he did the other day, you do have to account for him in your defensive scheme, just like Penn State has to account for Fields. But they then, here's the other part, takes away from somebody in your pass coverage because you have to do this. That's why I've always felt a quarterback that can move is invaluable in the red zone. Why? You get into the red zone and suddenly, because the quarterback can move, Trace McSorley, Darrell Clark, Michael Robinson, all three extremely successful. And Penn State had great years in the red zone with all three. Why? Because they have to account for the quarterback as a runner. And because they do, a lot of teams take a guy out of the pass play as opposed to a dropback quarterback who can't run. Now you can drop back whomever you want. It doesn't matter. Well, if a quarterback can run, now you have to account for him. And that is where Fields is, to me, so dangerous in all this. You have to account for him, and especially in those ad-lib plays where he runs. Incredible. And Clifford gives Penn State maybe not as dynamic a runner as Fields, but he's shown he can run. Ohio State's going to have to account for him as well. Feel Ohio State's linebacker, they're a team that plays one high safety, three corners. I will give their linebackers credit because I feel like their linebackers, Browning, Tough Borland, Warner, Pete Warner, have all gotten better. 2 years ago, I wasn't crazy about Ohio State's linebackers. This year, you can just tell through experience, it's a really good group they have out there. Really good. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Great to have you with us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Watched some Penn State basketball practice earlier today. Jim Ferry, of course, running the show right now with Keith Ergo and Taylor Battle and company. I'll tell you, a couple players that really stuck out to me. Sam Sessom's always like. Myron Jones has had a terrific preseason. So's Miles Dredd. Isaiah Brockington has really had a big-time preseason. I really like what I've seen from him. And John Harris's been really good. They're going to need all this, but, you know, it's... And I'm right on cue. I'm watching Herod give the ball off to Dredd, who knocks down a three from the wing. I'll give you a freshman that I've looked at and said, boy, he's better than I thought he was going to be. And that's DJ Gordon. DJ Gordon, you can tell, is a really good defender. He's got great length. But offensively, he's a better offensive player than I thought he was going to be. Well, I hope they get Sessoms a waiver. Yeah, I don't know what the NCAA is going to be thinking. By the way, did I talk about the UMass situation yesterday?
I don't believe so.
Okay, UMass, you know, the women's tennis team was stripped of its wins. That's always an effective, yeah, sure, okay. And that meant they were stripped of their first ever Atlantic 10 title or their first one in 15 years. You know what the deal was? You want to know why the NCAA knocked them for this? Because of a clerical error that gave two of their student-athletes $252 for a phone jack in their apartment. Now, let me ask you something. Is there a young person between 18 and 22 that even knows what a phone jack is? I mean, seriously. Okay. One was a senior. I don't know the class of the other one. Her name was Bethany Collins. And young people all use cell phones. So somebody made a clerical error. That's what it was, a clerical error about the phone jack. $252. Now, I don't know if they sent the two athletes $252, whatever. And they nailed this group. Took away their wins for 3 years, took away their Atlantic 10 championship, and made the world, and here's the worst part, made the world think that UMass women's tennis, like the joke, they're cheating in women's tennis? So they're labeled as cheaters, right? In other words, their integrity is questioned. This is over a clerical error. Tara Sullivan of the Boston Globe did a great job in covering this. Tara, great work. Okay. This is where you said, and by the way, UMass found it. The NCAA did it. They didn't find it. UMass found it and just inserted it in the report. Excuse me, you know how do you handle this in common sense? If the two student athletes were given the $252 for the phone jack, which they said, probably said back, okay. They probably didn't question or think twice about it. All you do is look at them and say, each of you give us back $126 and we're square. And it's done. who? I mean, my hotel room was just literally across the street from this building. What in the heck are they thinking in that building? I don't get it. Why do you do this? You read stuff like what Tara Sullivan reported. Hey, those two student athletes have no idea what a phone jack is. Young people use cell phones for everything. Okay? Phone jack? You got to be kidding me. They didn't even know, and literally in the report, they didn't even know they had it in the apartment. Just look at them and say, look, we made a clerical error. We need $126 back from each of you to equal $252. And then end it. You wonder why you lose the trust in your institution from the public and the media. When you do stupid stuff like this, and this is stupid, use some common sense. Okay, you look around and say, okay, I get it. I get what's going on here. The school found it. It's a clerical error. Just have the two come up with $126 apiece. We'll call it square and just move on. If that is how you lose trust in people looking at you as a governing body, and they look at you and go, what is wrong with you people? Meanwhile, you've got envelopes with cash being left in lockers at certain schools. The great sports philosopher Jerry Tarkanian. It was a great line, but sometimes in great lines, truth. The NCAA is so mad at Kentucky, they put Wichita State on probation.